Thank you. Well, it's good to see you. It's good to see some faces that I haven't seen for a while. And those of you who are here, you see some folks in church who are a little bit afraid because they're not sure we can do the social distancing well. You can tell them we're doing it well. You can actually do this. Again, I don't want anybody to feel pressured to come in person. We're doing this live stream. We'll keep doing it. When this is done, this COVID thing is done, because it's another form to reach people, but I want you to feel comfortable with what you're doing. Well, let me just encourage you. One of the things I look forward to, how many times I have to be reminded to say, remember Children's Church, to pray for the children. I'm looking forward to that day, not because I want the children who are here to not be here. The sounds of the children in the services doesn't bother me any. But I look forward to that day because that means we have nursery and those of you with little children who don't feel comfortable coming because you're not sure you have enough medication to take to handle, to bring them in the pew, not for them, but for you, then it'll be that day you'll get to come back. It'll be awesome to me. Let me just encourage everybody else, too, about the whole social distancing thing. I just love each other because for people who maybe feel really comfortable, want to shake hands and hug, and then you have people who seem to step back or don't seem to feel comfortable in hugging, and if you're a hugger and a handshaker, you might think those people are just silly. But you have to understand that the people who aren't huggers and handshakers, they're thinking those people are just silly. So the deal is, this is do out of love and honor each other so that this won't last long. Amen? There have been several prophetic words given by a number of people recently about just Pentecost being a pivotal day where we'll start seeing more and more of a change. And so just pray into that and be... But I'm just grateful that you're here, and that I'm grateful that you're watching over live stream. Amen. Sometimes I think people may wonder, like, why do you say, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen on Pentecost," instead of going back to "Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit"? Because Easter is not over until Pentecost happens. It's part of Easter. It's part of the Good Friday Easter reality. If you read the devotionals that I send out, one of the things I've been saying a couple of times in the devotionals that have all been about Easter is that, and resurrection, is that the finished work of Christ has two primary parts, the death and resurrection of Jesus. But the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection itself, has three parts to it, the resurrection, the ascension, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. You can't disconnect Pentecost from the resurrection and the crucifixion, if you do, and ascension. Because if you do, it becomes a standalone thing. People get in trouble theologically. It's all connected. You see, Jesus, when we were crucified with Christ, this is not news to you. If you're here for more years, it'll be coming out of your spiritual ears. I hope so. That when he was crucified, the old self was crucified. And when he was buried, the old self was buried. And when he was raised from the dead, a new self in union with his risen life was raised up with him. And when he ascended, you were ascended with him. You're risen with Christ, seated in the heavenly places. And the scriptures in Ephesians 2 that talk about the resurrection and ascension seem to connect those as if they were just one event. And in God's mind, even though there may be chronologically some time between, they're just one event. And so it's Pentecost. And the whole point of Pentecost is so that you will personally experience what he accomplished for you in his finished work, his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. That you might personally experience the wonders of being dead to the reign of sin and alive to God in Christ, allowing Jesus to live his risen and ascended life through you in the daily affairs that make up your life. Pentecost is so, and from the Lord's mind, the finished work of Christ isn't finished until the purpose for which he accomplished everything is finished. And Jesus came not just to do a bunch of stuff. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That we would no longer perish. The word perish is a word that means ruin. That our world and our lives would no longer be ruined by being the fallen, false self that we were. That we would experience life and life that comes from above. And so for Christ, it's not finished until you're experiencing what he accomplished in his death, resurrection, and ascension. That's why Pentecost is part of the whole Easter reality. Even though we do a different color, we still have the candle, and the shout should be, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen." Now, I just want to share some simple things about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and what Pentecost is all about. Because throughout church history, there's kind of been this discussion, and I would even say fierce argument at times among expressions of Bible-believing Christians, is that is being filled with the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? Or is being filled with the Spirit doing the greater works of signs and wonders and operating in the gifts of the Spirit? Which one is it? Well, you got that right. Because it's both. And the sad part is two expressions of people who are experiencing the filling or baptism of the Spirit have been fighting at each other. They've taken this amazing truth and made spitballs out of it and been shooting them at each other, and it's sad. Pentecost is the finishing touch on the gospel. The good news is not just what he did for you, but what he wants to see experienced by you. I love the last worship song that we did because he talks about there's room for you here. Come on, come on. All things are possible here. Come on, come on. And the whole point of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is Jesus saying, I've done all this for you. I've accomplished all this for you. A whole new creation in union with my risen and ascended life. Now, come on. Will you believe it? Will you yield to it? Will you say yes to it? You know, people talk about a lot about dying to self. He accomplished that at the cross. We talk about getting set free. He accomplished that at the cross. But he honors our right to say yes or no, even as believers, to what he's accomplished for us. Because you ask the question, why is the baptism of the Spirit so many times a separate event? Same reason why they had to cross over the Red Sea and the Jordan. The Jordan was crossing over into the experience of all that's ours in Christ, all that was theirs. They didn't get one thing more when they crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land that wasn't already theirs. But even though it was already theirs, and theirs from the moment they came out of Egypt, it was only theirs to experience if they crossed over the Jordan, a second baptism. And they should have done it in 11 days. But instead it took them 40 years. So I want to make sure that I don't just preach a sermon today, but for all of us here in this charismatic church, and all of those who are watching the live stream, that you don't leave today without saying yes to and believing for what he's already accomplished. Because Pentecost is the goal all along. Not just that he would accomplish something for you in the heavenly realm, but that you would receive it in the earthly realm so that you might experience life of heaven while walking on earth. It's the Holy Spirit that is the conduit that actualizes our union with Christ. You with me? Let me just read some scriptures. quote some scriptures, read a few scriptures. It says in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he talks about for them the promise of the Holy Spirit, the power, the promise of God being poured out on them, which is the promise of power. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he identifies that promise as the Holy Spirit who would release power. Now remember, again, that the word power in the Greek language was simply the word ability. But the New Testament writers saw it to represent the ability of God. It's just the word ability. And the common non-believing Greek people, if they used the word dunamis, they weren't thinking about a stick of dynamite that would blow up everything. They would say, oh, you have the dunamis to pick that up, so don't tell me to pick it up. You have the ability to do it. But when you attach that to God, what kind of ability does He have? And Ephesians chapter 1 says it's the kind of ability that can raise someone from the dead. That's the power He wants us to experience. So the promise is that we would know the ability of God lived out in us and through us. So that would make sense. It would be the ability of God to pray for the sick and they get healed, but also the ability of God to not lose your patience when somebody tests them. To not show unkindness. Because the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. I've heard people say the fruit of the Spirit is for us. The gift of the Spirit is for others. That's nonsense. It's both and. Trust me, when you're kind, other people appreciate it. People are impacted by your joy. When you walk in love, that's not just you loving you. It's for others. Also. Patience. People appreciate it when you're patient. When the waitress or the waiter is not getting the food fast enough, they're really much more impressed when you don't lose patience. And God wants us to experience His ability to express patience in those situations. How about gentleness? Am I just being gentle with me? Is that the fruit of the Spirit just for me? No. Trust me. People are grateful when you're kind to them and gentle with them. And that's not a personality type. All of you out there who happen to be outspoken. You know, they sometimes refer to certain wines like it's fruit forward or it's flavor forward. There's a commercial. It's flavor forward. Some of you have attitude forward. And so people appreciate when kindness and gentleness come forward. This is the scriptures that Bracken read. I'm just going to read a few of them. This is verse 10 of chapter 14. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Jesus is just speaking about His union as the Son of Man with the Father while He lived on the earth. The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. Because of His union with the Father by the Holy Spirit lived His life through Jesus. Believe me, again, He says, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. He said, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, just look at the works. And those works can only be explained by who God is, by His ability. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works that he will he do, because I go to the Father. What happened when he went to the Father? He poured out his Spirit. The ascended Christ poured out his Spirit. But here he talks about greater works. So we know that one of the manifestations of the ability of God released in a person's life when they're filled with the Holy Spirit is they can walk in the greater works. That's normal, common, brown bag, average, everyday stuff for a Spirit-filled Christian. But it says this in Romans chapter 1. It says in Romans 1, verse 3 and 4, concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, who was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Trinity, was involved in the resurrection. And the Holy Spirit was involved in the resurrection. And he says that was the great declaration of power. The Christ was who he says he was. The resurrection, and it was the Spirit of holiness that was involved in that great act of power. When a person's filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not just the greater works. you're filled with the Spirit of holiness. I don't mean by that the little s, the Spirit of God of holiness. Because holiness is the result of the Spirit of God actualizing your union with Christ and Christ Himself living out His holiness and His righteousness through you. When you God uses you to perform a sign and wonder, it's because He did it through you. Holiness is because He's doing it in you and through you. But it's all part of the package. And I don't know about you, but I want the whole package. I spent too much time in my Christian life settling for this or settling for that. I finally decided years ago, I'm not going to get in this scrap anymore between who gets this and who gets that. If yours is legitimate, I want it. And if yours is legitimate, I want all that too. And that's really supposed to be what the CEC is all about. That we wanted everything everybody else has said is really good throughout church history. Okay, we want all that. We want all the streams that end up being a river. Because we want to experience the river of God's anointing. Amen? I don't want to so fall in love with one stream as opposed to another stream. I love all the streams. But I don't want to swim in one of the streams either. Shallows. I want to jump in the river. And the river carries all of it. He says in chapter 14, verse 16, then he says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. Now we all know, we've heard this before, there are two words for helper in the Greek language. or two words for another in the Greek language. Another that's different or another of the same kind. This is the word for another of the same kind. I will give you another helper. I'll give you a helper who's going to be just like me. He's going to make me real. We'll see that some more in just a minute. I will give you another helper that He will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and He will be in you. Not just with you, but He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. When? When the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. Resurrection, you're going to live also a new life. In that day, the day of Pentecost, you will know that I am in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is that you would know that Christ is in you, and you in Him. Jesus accomplished that for us at the cross and resurrection. But it's manifested to us, it's experienced by us in the filling or baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit is your immersion, experiential immersion into the risen, ascended life and nature and ability of Christ. Amen? Look what it says about the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8. I'll start in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Powerful. For what the law could not do, as weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. As an offering for sin, He condemns sin in the flesh. I don't have time to explain all that. In order that, but here's the purpose. That the requirement or the righteousness, like the way the King James says it, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What does the Spirit accomplish in us? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk according to the Spirit. What is the righteousness of the law? Go back and think about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said to the Pharisees, He said, you say that if you don't murder a person, you're righteous. I'm telling you that if you hate them in your heart, you've committed murder. That's the righteousness of the law, not just the letter of the law. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us to actualize the righteousness of God that's ours in Christ experientially. For He, the Father, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin. Everything that we were, that was broken and fallen, become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's not something stagnant, just a position. It's a practice. The righteousness of God in Christ. Wouldn't you enjoy, instead of struggling and trying and feeling guilty about 75% of the time, of trying to live a righteous life, instead you saw by the Holy Spirit the righteousness of God is in Christ, just being released in you supernaturally. Instead of trying to be patient, trusting Him for His patience. Instead of trying to be kind, trusting Him and experiencing His kindness. Instead of trying to be gentle, trusting Him and experience His gentleness. Instead of trying to be joyful and using a bunch of formulas to get there, knowing His joy. Instead of trying to be at peace, experiencing His peace. Instead of trying to love people that are unlovable, knowing His love. Effortlessly. Restfully. It says in Romans 8, verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. That's who you are. You're a Christian. If indeed the Spirit of God, now listen to how He identifies Him. He says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Stand alone. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I still live in a fallen body. The old evil virus still lives here. But it no longer has reign over me because the Holy Spirit lives in me, the very life of Jesus, makes the life of Jesus, my union with Christ, real. And that righteousness gives life even in my fallen, this part of my humanity. That His life might be manifested through my mortal flesh. Wow. 2 Corinthians 4. The Spirit of Christ. John 16. You hanging in? Verse 7. I tell you, this is in the upper room, just the evening before its crucifixion. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Now, why is that better? They've had it really good. I mean, how many of us have fantasized about, that must have been so cool to sit there at the fire, eat fish with Jesus, watch Jesus do all that cool stuff. I tell you what's cooler. If Jesus could come and live inside of you and do all that cool stuff through your personality and your humanity, that's why it's better. I would never want what they had until after Pentecost. Union is what He accomplished for me in the cross, resurrection and ascension. Pentecost is just so I can experience what He's already accomplished. You know, in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 19, when they talk, they come to people and say, have you received the Spirit since you believe? That's the language. You don't have to earn. He's already accomplished everything. Just receive. Just receive the life He's a purchase for you. Just come to the place where He says that your old self was crucified. Is that okay with you? Are you now prepared to say, not try to die to self? Just go yes to the death to self He accomplished. Are you prepared to let Him now live His story through you, which means every day you don't get a vote ever? Trust me, the Christian life is not a democracy. It is a pure theocracy. And Jesus lives His life in us as Lord. And if you're going to experience the life of the Lord being lived through you. Then he's got to reign as the Lord of your life in you. That's what it's all about. He accomplished death of the old self, buried it. He accomplished the resurrection of a new self in union with his life. He won't live your story through you. He'll live his story through you. And that transforms, it elevates your story by infinity. And Pentecost is just our seeing that and saying, I like it. I want it. Experientially. That's already done for me. And I want to experience it in me and through me. It's not something that he gives. It's just something that the Holy Spirit actualizes. Because he was already accomplished for you 2,000 years ago. He just says, receive it now. But you got to say yes to Christ reigning. Because the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet, what? Glorified. That's a personal thing, too. The Holy Spirit's released, making our union with Christ real, as Christ is glorified as King in our hearts. Free to live His life, His day, rearranged. It's not your to-do list that matters. You can make a to-do list, but it actually belongs to Him. And if he decides to interrupt your to-do list, you don't get the right to gripe and complain about it. It's not your story. He says in verse 8 of 16, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. What happened when he went to the Father? He poured out his Spirit. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. What does the Holy Spirit do when he's in us? Convicts us of our righteousness in Christ. He's never there to condemn you. He paid a huge price to accomplish a new you. The Holy Spirit fills you to do what? Be your helper. Does that mean He walks along beside you and helps you? No. He helps you to grow in the experience of your union with Christ. And He's constantly convicting you of righteousness. Helping you to remember who you really are. When you blow it, mess up. Having been filled with the Spirit, He doesn't jump on your head and make you feel horrible and rub your nose in the dirt. You've already done that to yourself. He tries to call you out of the dirt and remind you that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. That Jesus Christ wants to live His life and His extraordinary story through you. Why have you settled for such a lesser story by throwing yourself into the dirt? But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He shall glorify me. For he shall take what's mine and disclose it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said he'll take what's mine and disclose it to you. A little while, you will no longer behold me, but a little while you will see me. When? At Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit fills us as our helper in this abiding life in Christ. To abide in Christ and to walk in the Spirit is the same thing. To be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, and to abide in Christ is the same thing. The Holy Spirit has come to glorify Christ, to reveal to you everything that's yours in Christ, and everything that Christ has is all that belongs to the Father. And the Holy Spirit's there to instruct us, to show us all the illimitable resources of Jesus that are mine in union with Him. Make them real to me so that I can grow in my expansive experience of all that Christ is. He is the conduit of our union with Christ. He's the coach who teaches us from the inside out how to walk that. He makes it real in us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit immerses you in that reality that then you have to walk out. Every Christian, according to 1 Corinthians 12, has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian is in Christ. What Jesus accomplished in his finished work, death to the old self, union with the resurrected and ascended Christ, is true about every believer. The promised land, the land of Canaan, was true about every single Jewish person that came out of Egypt. But not every one of them entered in. Many of them died in the wilderness. To not live a spirit-filled life is to live and die in the wilderness. But there came a point where they crossed over. Into the inheritance that had been purchased for them by God. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit is the beginning of a journey. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect from that point forward, but at least you know what you signed up for and you're saying yes to it. You know and understand what Christ accomplished at the cross. One of the reasons, prophetically, that there's a geographical distance between Pentecost and Easter is so that you have enough distance to look back and go, oh, this is what He did for me. Yes, I want to experience all that. I have it. I want it to be released. I want to cross over the Jordan, and I want to experience it step by step. And if you have been filled with Spirit, but then you find yourself crossing back over the Jordan, like 2.5 tribes of Israelites did living in the wilderness, that's really hard to do, isn't it? Because just right across the river is the promised land. You can see it, but you're just not enjoying it. You've been there. All those tribes crossed over, then 2.5 came back. A Christian can cross over, can be filled with Spirit, can abide in Christ, and then choose to throw themselves into the dirt and then live their life looking over the promised land, but in deception settling for the wilderness. So what I'm offering for you today is that if there's anybody here or anybody watching, you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, I want you to give you the opportunity. If you're prepared to allow the Christ who is your life to live His life through you as Lord, as King, because He can't do it as buddy. He's Lord. He came, it says in Romans 14, that He might be Lord of both the dead and the living. If you're prepared, then all you have to do is receive. Now, most of the time, as we see the record in Scripture, when a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, they usually receive a prayer language. It's the only gift of the Holy Spirit that can be used publicly, but also used for personal edification. Why? It's just one of those things the Holy Spirit does to help coach us along, to help us grow in faith, in our union with Christ. And the way I love to pray for people that I learned many years ago is that if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you'd like to be, I'm going to pray for you right now because you want to receive what He's already achieved so you can experience it. Amen? You're not going to get one thing more than you already have, but what you have is about to get you. People say, well, I don't know if I've been filled with the Holy Spirit or not. That's like somebody saying, I was run over by a semi-truck, but I don't really know if I was actually run over by one or not. Yes, you know. Once Christ takes over, you know. So if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you've never been, let me pray for you right now. Holy Spirit, thank You that You've come to help us discover and grow into all that's ours in Christ. Spirit of holiness. Spirit of greater works and signs and wonders. Lord Jesus, it says that You baptize. So Lord Jesus, I pray that You would just, for everyone who's saying yes now, just fill them now. Immerse them in Your very life, Holy Spirit, in the very life, power, and nature of Jesus. That Jesus, from this moment forward, might be the one who lives his life through them, instead of them continuing to struggle to live their life for him. Fill them, Lord. Just fill them. If that's you here, you know, you can just stay in a position of prayer. And you've never experienced your prayer language, just all I can tell you to do is open your mouth very quietly and start whispering, praising God, but just don't do it in English. It's really not any harder than that. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. They had to speak. We had somebody come last week that I've never seen here before at noon. He came to this Eucharist just because at noon he said he wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he was. It was cool. Then he got healed of some stuff too. David prayed for him. He got healed of some stuff. This is true for all of you live streaming. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, just go for it. Just say yes. Just say thank you. If he's done it all, just say thank you. That's it. When somebody gives you a gift, you just say thank you. And if there's anybody here who's been in the promised land, where you've crossed back over and you're living in the wilderness, this won't be the last chance that you have, I trust, to cross back over. But why waste more time? Why? If that's you, then I give you an opportunity also. So everybody just close your eyes again. Lord Jesus, if they're saying yes to you, Holy Spirit, just walk them back over. It's really that simple. Jesus' name, amen. Okay, not too bad. I didn't abuse you too bad. Let's stand together.